Do I have everybody's attention now?
Now it's time for Jason Martin and Vol for Life Ramon Foster.
Powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors.
Together, they are J-Mart and Ramon on 104.5 The Zone.
Well, the spread is 21 on Saturday at Neyland Stadium for the third Saturday in October. Is it the third Saturday? Is it the fourth Saturday this year?
I think it's the fourth.
I think it is, because the third. It's usually my birthday is the third Saturday. It's usually like the day or day before or day after is my birthday, and I think that was the case again this time. And this time, the third Saturday in October was Kentucky, and it'll be one that Tennessee fans are ready to move on from, to say the least. But 21, Ramon, as we welcome everybody back, J-Mart, Ramon, Hour 2, Andy Staples of The Athletic, set to join us in just a little bit over 10 minutes, so don't go anywhere. 21, that's where it is right now. Alabama's offense, 561 yards, as great as Tua was, and you think about the guys that they have lost at the receiving position. They are truly wide receiver you at this point. And
they
that
are.
Is what Jerry Jeudy even said on Twitter. He was like, wide receiver you, watching Devontae Smith and watching Jalen Waddle. They just are a factory for top flight wide receivers that are going to go to the NFL, that are going to make money and are going to make plays. Julio, Calvin Ridley, even Amari Cooper, once he got out of a bad situation in Oakland, has done well in Dallas. It's just guy after guy after guy. And, of course, Jeudy. Ruggs and those guys still just as rookies getting the job done right now. But you look at Mac Jones. Mac Jones's numbers this year, folks, 90 of 115 for 1,518 yards, 12 touchdowns, and two interceptions. You'll take that all day.
The
Alabama quarterbacks have gone from being the Greg McElroy, A.J. McCarron kind of guy to the Tua Tagovailoa, Mac Jones kind of guy. And
when you
give them those kind of weapons, they've still got the running backs, Moan. They've still – where do you put Najee Harris on the list of great Alabama running backs? I don't know that he's at the top, but his stock continues to grow with me. I feel like he's more a T.J. Yeldon-ish kind of back because he runs high. He runs a little bit higher, but like I think Derrick Henry, Mark Ingram – might still be the top of the heap.
You're
leaving a lot of really talented backs out right there.
You are. And the thing about him, it looked like he came back this year smaller, but more powerful, though.
Oh, yeah.
He has an explosion about him, man. And you're like, okay, you see him guys grab his legs, and he's still dragging guys. He's still getting like 2 or 3 yards out of the fact. I think he'll find out it's better for him to get down already instead of taking those hits. But as a college man, as a college player, a young Thundercat, as I always like to say, guys are at this age, like, he is going hard. He's proving himself on why he came back, man. And just looking at this wide receiver, you as they're calling right now, when you mention these guys' names, the first thing that was coming to my mind, well, these are name guys. These are like receiver one type guys, man. Yes. And they're pushing them out. And just looking at the shootout that they had with Ole Miss, the ball went through those receivers. Those guys were making plays. Those guys were having career games to where if you were an NFL scout, you're salivating. When can I take them? That's the only thing you were thinking. When can I take them? And on top of that, there's always been the issue of Alabama quarterbacks not being able to perform at the next level. Well, guess who has been able to perform at the next level? The wide receivers.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm telling you right now this weekend, the one thing that's going to really just irk me, make my skin crawl, is watching UT, because they've yet to correct this, is watching them give up that slant route again across the middle. That slot.
Across the middle is just going to be it's going to be nasty all year, Mom. We said this before the season. We knew the safety spot and the linebackers dropping back to there was not going to be where Tennessee was best, and they damn sure have not been best in that spot, and they have not seen anything like the wide receivers and even the tight ends that they're going to see on Saturday.
The one kid that did the job, I think the best, was the wide receiver from South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was the exposure.
Shai Smith.
Shai Smith, yeah. We've yet to clean that up. And you got this Alabama crew coming in town with a quarterback that can actually throw, a lineman, a front line that can actually protect. The thing about it, too, is Leatherwood, the left tackle. I thought he could have came out last year and been a first-round pick, but he came back. His protection skill across the edge is going to be interesting to see what Kevon Bennett and the crew can do against him. I mean, if they can't get to him and they're dropping into this soft coverage, I think, what are they calling, like a voodoo zone or whatever they're calling it right now? Well, that hasn't been able to confuse or trick anybody. That middle slant has been open all year long. It's like IHOP out here, man. Hey, come get you some breakfast whenever you need it. That's what's going on right now with that middle slant. And these wide receivers that Alabama have right now, they're just running numbers up. It's interesting to see them be wide receiver you, because you think power. You think hard-nosed downhill football when you think of Alabama. But no, they got an air raid right now that we thought Mike Leach was going to have.
Yeah, I mean, they've become more of a, not a finesse, but a precision passing kind of team because of the talent that they have at that position. I mean, Devontae Smith, he's getting 2 feet down on every catch. He's letting NFL teams know while he's scoring touchdowns in college. Yeah, these are still good in the NFL. These are still going to work on Sunday. One of the plays he made on Saturday night against Georgia in the back of the end zone, I have no idea how he caught that ball and no idea how he got both feet down. But he succeeded in both. Jalen Waddle is a video game.
Yes, he is.
His speed, like, how did you have him and Henry Ruggs on the same football team at the same time? They had those two. They had Smith. They had Jerry Jeudy. They had a great tight end. They had Tua at quarterback. Now they've got Mac Jones. Like, and they had Najee Harris. I mean, they were loaded, shows you how good LSU was.
Yeah. You're reeling off names, man, and all I can think is NFL, NFL first round.
Yeah, those dudes are Sunday.
You know, like, I'm thinking, like, first round, second round, first, like.
On the field, not on the practice squad, the field.
On the field, man, and it's exciting, honestly, to see, as bad as it makes me throw up in my mouth, Alabama be this way, but when it's talent, man, all you can do is just root for it. And it's like, you know what? They're just better. That's all it is. And I see why now that anonymous coach on that CBS interview said that, hey, he feel like Nick Saban is cheating.
Because that's Jimmy's and Joe's, not X's and O's.
Not X's and I swear to you, the moment we start figuring that out, man, it's about the players than it is the scheme. That's the reason why Antonio Brown has been brought up again. He's a Jimmy and Joe type that teams want on their team. You know, there's the reason Le'Veon goes to Kansas City. You know, it's the reason we get excited when Corey Davis is back in the fold. You need those guys back on the field.
Alabama is averaging 48.5 points a game, 393 yards passing per game.
But defensive school.
And their defense is giving up, Moan, as you say that, 458 yards per game. Not really Alabama that we saw at the beginning of the Saban tenure.
Nah.
But certainly the Alabama that they are today. And it just feels like it's Alabama, it's Clemson, and I think we're going to find out it's Ohio State. And then that's about it. I think everybody else is going to have flaws that you're going to be able to see very clearly. Maybe Alabama does have a flaw, and it is their defense is not elite, and that's what will get them beat if they play Clemson.
Yeah, and that's what I was just thinking. Nobody from the Big 12, Pac-12, I don't see that. Maybe Oregon, but that's a big maybe.
Oregon will go find a way to lose to Arizona
or Jeff something like that. Saying that.
Won't even worry. I don't care. He can be a hate listener. I can be a hate host, too.
Yeah, but you're right. It's a three-headed race right now. That's simply what it is. As you said, we expect Ohio State because of Justin Fields. Like, it seems like he's going to be the guy, and Ohio State always is. Michigan, I don't see in the fold right now.
Penn State's not quite good enough.
Not it.
They're 1B-ish best.
And we saw what happened with Georgia this past weekend. Can Georgia get in into the playoff? Exactly. So what exactly are we doing? They are a team that shows that, hey, yes, you can have an awesome offense. I mean, an awesome defense. But if your offense can't compete the way Alabama's can right now, the way we see Clemson putting up 73 points.
Yep.
It's going to be a long day at the office, man. Alabama's doing what we're seeing what NFL teams are doing right now. That is winning with your offense.
Yeah, the Titans are doing that, obviously. That's been part of our discussion this morning with the poll question. Would you rather have the Titans offense or the Steelers defense? We're nearly 700 votes. Steelers defense at 59% to Titans offense 41%. We'll get you updated on some of those comments. But we'll keep the college talk rolling. Our good friend Andy Staples of The Athletic. Mm-hmm. Moan, do you think he knows about split fruit punch at Chick-fil-A?
I don't feel – not that one. I feel like he's
– I'm not so sure, but we're going to ask him. I promise you that. Stick around. J. Martin Ramon on Twitter, 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back, J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone on this Thursday. Man, we've been all over the place. We got a poll about whether you'd rather have the Titans offense or the Steelers defense, whether you call it soda or pop, or if you call all soda Coke. And then we got, look, you've always got the guy, Moan.
There's
a guy that's like, you call it a soft drink. At which point you're like, all right, bro. We see you. We understand. Why don't you just take one of our poll
partner?
We bring in Andy Staples of The Athletic, who apparently is going to be ranked Saved by the Bell episodes, which means I'm going to be reading Andy Staples as usual at some point later on today. Andy, where do the mystery weekend and Johnny Dakota and the drug ad with Brandon Tartikoff rank on your list of Saved by the Bell episodes?
They did not make it. The Johnny Dakota was close, but they did not make it. The one where they wrecked Mr. Belding's Miata did slip in under the wire in the top 10. Of course, we all know what number one is. That's the most iconic, the episode with the most iconic scene in Saved by the Bell history. And Kelly's prom in there. We got when Zach and Kelly break up. We got when the girl joins the wrestling team. That was one of my favorites.
That was early. Right there. All right, Andy, not Saved by the Bell was Tennessee. I'm just looking at him right now on Zoom, and I see him wearing orange, and I'm just like, man, that's difficult to wear that. Where does that – I know Kentucky's not awful, but where does that loss, the way in which Tennessee lost, rank on the scale of kind of embarrassing defeats that this team has taken in the last handful of years?
It's real bad. It's just the way it happened. Because it was avoidable. And it was interesting. I thought that – Jordan Rodgers and Cole Kubelik and Tom Hart pointed out something interesting on the broadcast that got me to thinking, because, and this is after they've had the two pick sixes and they've tried to change quarterbacks and they brought Garantano back. And, so Jeremy Pruitt told them, it sounds like with a measure of pride, we make our quarterback actually play quarterback. He's got to change protections and make sure we're in the right play. And they're not looking back at the sideline every play. To which I say, you get no extra points for that. Maybe that's why you haven't been able to make a change at quarterback, even though you know what you're going to get. Maybe you need to make it easier so in case you have to play a freshman. And oh, by the way, if Garantano gets hurt, you're going to need to play somebody younger anyway. So why not just make it easier on that person? You know, you guys get paid millions of dollars, so you do the hard stuff and let the quarterback get in there and have it be easy for him. You know, it's okay if he looks back at the sideline. The touchdown still counts 6 points if you look back at the sideline before you threw the touchdown pass. So I realize it's nice to have a more advanced quarterback and to have that person do more things, but if that person can't do those things, well, you're paid to make sure you still score points and you don't throw it to the other team.
I swear I have been screaming that for about the last 2 or 3 weeks now. I think even dating back to the South Carolina game, so I felt like, okay, it feels like they're holding back as coaches. Like, why does this offense seem to be holding back as coaches, man? And, you know, on Twitter, of course, UT fans are, and I'm in that bubble also with them, we get up in arms about a lot of stuff. One thing that came across is coaches. One got fired on Monday, I guess, also. But we're looking at, let's say, Sam Pittman in Arkansas right now, who seems at least right now that he's doing the job. But on the other side of it, you have what everybody feels like is a good coach in Les Miles, and Kansas not doing the job. What's a good coach in college, at least. NFL is totally different, I feel like. But what's a good college coach? Because you can hit on one, or you can – is it just scenarios of what you have in front of you? Is Pruitt up against a lot in UT?
Well, he is up against a lot. But, like, Les Miles, I mean, anybody who's been paying attention knows Les Miles hadn't been a good college coach in almost a decade. So, like, it's one of those things where the best college coaches make things easy for their players. You can put young guys in and not have a steep learning curve because you have to a lot of times. You don't always have a veteran. You can't always have an old team. Dabo Swinney told me this, like, 2013. He said that the biggest thing that changed for him, the thing he figured out that made life so much easier for him, is he stopped complaining about what his quarterback couldn't do coming out of high school, what they didn't know. Like, they can't take a snap. They can't take a snap from under center. Can't do this, can't do that. And he's like, you know what? Why don't I just change so that they can easily transition into what I do? Because I'm going to get fired if I lose. They're not going to get fired. I'm going to get fired. So that's what he did. He was talking about when he hired Chad Morris in 2010, and that's when everything kind of started to take off for them. And so that's what you've got to figure out. And most of college football has figured that out. You've got to make it where that guy comes in from high school and you can plug him in if you need to. The learning curve cannot be that steep. You've got to be able to, especially at quarterback, you've got to be able to get somebody in there. And look, there is history here where you know it can happen. Jim Chaney was the offensive coordinator for a team that went to the national championship game with a true freshman at quarterback. It's doable.
So, I mean, it just feels like they've struck out, and they've continually struck out. We had a caller yesterday, Andy, that suggested to us that Pruitt's big problem is he holds on too long. Like, he's too stubborn to make a move at times. But do you look at what they have currently and say, I understand why JG is still the guy, even if you know what he is at this point and you know that there's going to be some peaks, but there's going to be an awful lot of valleys, maybe not two pick sixes often in a row, but that's what we got. But as soon as he put in somebody else, Andy, that guy threw an interception as well. So it's not like the quarterback room happens to be stacked down there. So where is the flaw here?
The flaw is in the system. You should be able to interchange your quarterback and not lose that much. They built it up where the guy, the starter, has to do so much that when you put the next guy in, you've got to severely limit what you do. Well, that's not how it works. Like, Oklahoma can put the backup in and run their offense, and nothing changes. Clemson can put the backup in, and nothing changes. That's what Tennessee has to be able to do. Because if you can't, if there's no threat of the bench, and the starter's not doing very well, how's he going to do any better?
And that's where we are. So the other side of what's going on, too, is Alabama's coming into town this weekend. Jamar pointed out this: their defense is giving up over 400 yards in defense. Does it matter to this team, Alabama, for the rest of the year if their defense is giving up that much, that many yards per game?
Yards per game don't mean anything. Points per game matter.
That's right. I mean, that's your rip shot right there from Andy Staples. Did Georgia get exposed, or was that a function of Alabama? Like, Stetson Bennett in the second half kind of crumbled in that game on Saturday night. But at the same time, if you're sitting there trying to just go point for point, touchdown for touchdown with Alabama's offense, there are very few teams, maybe two. We haven't seen Ohio State play, but I think they're probably going to be one. And then Clemson is the other one. And then outside of that, I don't trust anybody other than those three teams in college football this year.
Yeah, the Georgia thing's interesting because I look back at 2017, and if you watch that first game against Auburn, they looked awful. Fromm looked terrible. And then 3 weeks later, they looked amazing against the same Auburn defense. So I think there's room for growth. The question is are they topped out with Stetson Bennett from an athletic standpoint? And I don't know the answer to that. You know, can he get better as they go on? Or do they need to look at JT Daniels? Or do they need to look at DeJuan Mathis? I don't know. The problem is they played DeJuan Mathis, and he didn't run the offense as effectively as Stetson Bennett did. And the thing about Georgia, because they've lost to Alabama now and Florida's lost to Texas A&M, you know, both those teams, to get where they want to go, basically have to win the rest of their game. And whoever wins that game in Jacksonville is probably the team that goes to Atlanta. So I don't know that you can do a lot of experimentation right now, because you've got that game coming up on November 7th where you've got to win it. And is Stetson Bennett good enough to beat Florida? Maybe, because I think Florida's defense will make Georgia's offense look better than Alabama's did. But I don't know that that beats Alabama if I had to play him again. So I don't know what you do in that situation. It's sort of a more high-level version of what Tennessee's going through right now.
Andy Staples brought to you by the Tennessee Education Lottery, proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion to support education programs in Tennessee. To learn more about programs funded by the lottery, visit tnlottery.com.
Andy, just how high above is Clemson over everybody else in this league? I mean, you see them putting up 73 points. And yes, that was against Georgia Tech. But at the same time, this team is just pumping. It looked like it had no COVID break at all. If you're going to pair them in this championship game, which I think is probably going to be them, is it Ohio State or is it Alabama at this point?
It's those three, it feels like. And you talk about the rest of the ACC. I still think Miami might be the second best team in the league, and Clemson tore them apart, because, you know, the thought was Notre Dame's the second best team in the ACC. But if you saw that game against Louisville last week, Louisville's not very good. Scott Satterfield, however, is a very good coach. And so he sucked a bunch of possessions out of that game. I think Notre Dame only got the ball 7 times, and they win the game 12-7. It's one of those things where that will not be good enough against Clemson. That won't even be close. And, you know, I don't know that Notre Dame's going to be able to run, because Notre Dame has a good offensive line. Usually they control the game on the ground. That's how they beat people. I don't know that they can do that against this Clemson defense. So we'll find out, because they do play each other in a couple weeks. But I feel like Clemson is head and shoulders above the rest in the ACC, and good chance they play Miami again, which Miami could be better by that point. But you saw Clemson was in a different class than Miami when they played the first time.
Yeah. Are you surprised, Andy, or just maybe mildly impressed, or maybe more than mildly impressed with what Sam Pittman has done? I mean, they came in, they hadn't won 20 game or hadn't won an SEC game in their last 20, and they've been competitive. I think they've been better than anybody thought that they were going to be. What do you think of the job Sam Pittman's been able to do in a really difficult spot in the SEC West?
He's the coach of the year. Not just in the league, but in the whole country. I mean, it's incredible. And, you know, the reaction when he got hired was, oh, it's an offensive line coach. But it's an offensive line coach who knows how to be real with people, who can connect with people. I bet he's going to be a very good recruiter. And it's kind of what they needed. You think about it, their older players have been through two coaching changes. You couldn't put a car salesman in there and have that team believe. You had to find the guy that they would actually believe in. And he's that guy, and it's because he believes in them. I mean, if you heard his first speech to the team when he got there, he said, you know, you didn't choose me, but I'm damn glad I chose you, and I need everybody in here. He has handled this thing perfectly from the jump. Now, here's what's interesting, and Ari Wasserman, who covers recruiting for The Athletic, pointed this out to me, and I find it fascinating. So I'm going to let you guys guess. The 24/7 talent composite kind of collects the recruiting rankings for every player on every roster. So you can, you know, Alabama and Ohio State and Georgia, they're in the top, you know, couple three. Where do you think Arkansas lands on that list?
I'm going to bet, because you're asking a question, near the bottom, if not the very bottom.
Absolutely.
In whole country?
I'm giving them 75.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
75, yeah.
25.
Wow.
Doesn't mean you're bad. The SEC is a tough recruiting league. So they have the 25th most talent in the country. And really, if you're within 10 or 15 spots of somebody, you can play with them. So that means everybody except the top 10, Arkansas should be able to hang with. And you know who knew that when he took the job? Sam Pittman.
That is savvy, man. And Andy, we see something that's happened. A guy I'm sure you've watched too in the last few years at Alabama be thrust into the starting role in Miami. That's Tua. A guy with his injury coming out as a rookie, just on the NFL side of things, is it too soon for him, for the people who are SEC fans or just fans of him? Because we have a lot of listeners from a lot of different fan bases. Would you put him in that situation?
I was kind of hoping they'd do what Kansas City did with Mahomes, which was, you know, essentially redshirt him. Mahomes, I think, started week 17 of his rookie year when Alex Smith had wrapped up a playoff spot for KC. And I think that helped because he didn't, you know, you had a steeper learning curve with Mahomes coming from the air raid. But you also don't have to worry about getting his confidence shattered early, you know. He has a chance to adjust to the speed and everything else. I mean, Tua's had some time, but I thought Fitzpatrick was doing okay. And if he's doing okay, then why not just let him keep going this season? And then you hand over to Tua next season, especially given the severity of Tua's injury. Don't get me wrong. I'm as excited as anybody else to see him play in the NFL because I've missed watching Tua play because he is so much fun to watch. But I was really hoping he'd get that redshirt year and then be able to kind of just come in as the starter next season.
Andy, just a gut feeling. I imagine you're going to take Alabama on Saturday. How close do you think Tennessee can get it? And just because I'm really intrigued by this question right now and the reaction to what happened at Kentucky. Jeremy Pruitt, is he the coach at Tennessee 3 years from today?
I think so, and I think this game will be much closer than you think because they're going to play better than they did last week. You saw them play tough against Alabama last year. So also remember there's the familiarity factor. You know, Pruitt knows what Nick Saban likes to do, especially knows what Nick Saban likes to do defensively, which is information he can pass along to Jim Chaney to attack that defense. So I think they will be able to hang because you know, styles make fights. It's sort of like Alabama's defense against Ole Miss didn't look very good. Alabama's defense against Georgia looked much better. I think Tennessee will look better against Alabama. I also think they're probably going to be somewhat risk-averse on offense. So hopefully they will not be throwing it to the guys in the white jerseys this time. But that's the thing. If they can limit the turnovers, they keep it fairly close. But I still think Alabama wins because I just think Alabama has too much firepower on offense. They're just going to, at some point, outscore you.
Yeah.
We got to ask you one final question because we've been talking about it this morning, Andy. Chick-fil-A, you're a big-time food guy on the road and all the games that you cover and stuff, but at Chick-fil-A, their lemonade, have you ever had it split with fruit punch before?
No. I don't like their lemonade as is, but I'm more of a tea guy, so I'm getting iced tea when I go to Chick-fil-A anyway, so I've never thought about that. I just, you know, they squeeze fresh lemons to make the lemonade. Why would I cut that with high C syrup that's been sitting in a warehouse?
This is not the answer I was looking for, Andy.
Not me either.
Especially what you're talking about, chicken ribs on your account.
Podcast sponsors, those things are great.
I you got to point me in the right direction on that, Andy.
Well,
and Andy, it's always good. We learn something every time we talk to you. I'm disappointed I didn't mention Becky the Duck off the top of this. I assume the oil episode didn't make it in either.
No. And also, no Tory episodes. They're not canon.
Yeah. By the way, do you ascribe to the theory that Kelly and Lisa were still at the school, or Kelly and Jesse were still at the school? We just didn't see them during that time frame, but it was all taking place in the same timeline with the same people. But it's like in high school where sometimes you just don't see the same people even though they're there.
Well, yes, because remember they brought – and they had the one period where there was one episode that came on at 11 and another one that came on at 11:30, and it was a Tory episode at 11 and a Kelly and Jesse episode at 11:30. None of it made any sense.
No, it did. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. If you're going to pick a Tory episode, you've got to pick the boys versus the girls, the one when they had like the male versus female contest going on for the final half hour. But I'm glad you didn't pick any of them.
Episode not canon.
Agreed.
It's like when Disney bought Star Wars and just evaporated all their little books and video games and all the stuff they've done with the ancillary characters. It doesn't exist to me.
There you go. That's the best. That's Andy Staples. Follow him on Twitter at Andy_Staples on Twitter. We'll catch up with you next week. We appreciate it.
All right. See you guys.
See ya. That's Andy Staples. Tennessee Education Lottery makes him possible. They're proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion to support education programs in Tennessee. To learn more about programs funded by the lottery, visit tnlottery.com. Got to say, Ramon, I'm disappointed in that. I don't really like Chick-fil-A's lemonade anyway. They're squeezing lemons. Why would I actually want to drink that?
He made me sit back in my seat on that one. Yeah. I was not with it for a food aficionado as he is. I expected more out of that one.
Moves in the NFL. AB potentially making some moves. A lot of things that we can discuss on that front. Plus, we'll get back to your poll answers. Which would you rather have, Titans offense or Steelers defense? Stick with us. 7:42 on 104.5 The Zone.
Wait, what am I going to wear?
Jesse, remember? Lisa's bringing your costume.
Right, I got to wash my hair.
No, there's no time.
No time. There's never any time. I don't have time to study. I'll never get into Stanford. I'll let everyone down. I'm so confused.
Jesse, hey, just calm down. It's okay.
You're right.
It's okay.
Everything will be okay.
Yeah.
I just need one of these.
Pills? You mean you really are taking drugs?
I need them.
Jesse, give me those.
I need them, Zach. I have to sing.
Jesse, you can't sing tonight.
Yes, I can. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
Jesse.
Jeez. I forgot about it. I mean, Stanford was a recurring theme on Saved by the Bell. That was the most iconic scene, the one that Andy Staples was referencing in the last segment. You remember the episode where Zach got like 1,500 on his SATs? He got into Stanford because they were having like the college deal, but they didn't want Jesse all of a sudden, even though she was going to be valedictorian. And so it was like, why don't you go to Stansbury? And it was like they changed Stanford to Stansbury, and it was like this woman in like a plaid Hillary Clinton pantsuit that was not going to let Jesse Spano in. That man, there's so much here. Like we had somebody say, hey, we need to do a Pop 6 podcast on Saved by the Bell. And that was originally planned.
Yeah.
I was doing a lot of pop culture podcasts. And I said, it was still planned. It can still be done. Maybe with a new cast of characters, but it can still be done. I don't know how deep you are on the Saved by the Bell canon though, Moan.
No, I got to dive in. It is. But I had a lot of friends watching that. I just did not. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to just watch cartoons. But clearly, I got to get caught up on this, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't watch it like from the very beginning when it started live on Saturday mornings, but when they started running the repeats on TBS when I was in like ninth grade, somewhere right around there, I caught it. And once I caught it, I can still watch them now. Like I own the DVDs. I still watch them now, even though they're corny. They're Ali level corny, but at the same time, like just so classic in so many ways. And that Lifetime movie or whatever it was that they played a year ago, the real Saved by the Bell, like, that was unbelievable too, but that show's a legend, man. Absolute legend. And they're rebooting it, and I don't necessarily think that's a good idea.
You know how I know you're a good partner, J-Mart? Is you took a subtle shot at Ali, right?
Absolutely
there.
Right, man.
Because that's what partners do, man.
What's our conference? What's our conference again? What I tell you our conference name is? We're not the SEC. We are the Petty C. Because it just means more.
Hey, man, I just want you to know that was beautiful right there, watching you take a shot. And I just sat there and just smiled like, that's my friend. That's my buddy right there, man.
It's my quarterback.
That's my quarterback.
That is like, what do you think about before we got? Yeah, well, no, keep go ahead, Jake.
It's my quarterback.
I'm using that so often now on Twitter out of context. Anybody says anything I like, I'm just going to tell you you're my quarterback. That's where we've gone on this.
It really is.
I want to talk about AB, but I want us to have some time, and we don't really have time to do it right now. But real quickly, because we've got Ian Eagle coming up at the top of the hour, I think it's really interesting what he said about keeping it close against Alabama. I've kind of had that feeling this week too, just because, not because of familiarity, just because everybody's so down on Tennessee.
Yeah.
Are they going to go out and get beat like Clemson beat Georgia Tech? I just don't really think so. Are they going to win? No. Are we ever going to have a feeling they're going to win? No. But are they going to get beat by 40? Probably not.
Yeah. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I'm not as optimistic as I once was about this, simply because.
Oh, 8-2? Like,
yeah, 8-2. It really crushed my soul to know that we're already there right now. And the way this team is reeling back, and it seems like it has a lot more internal issues than I once thought. And it just sucks because there is a lot of talent on this team. And once again, I go back to again. And Andy said the same thing. It's the coach's job who's paid millions of dollars, and the adults in the situation responsible and supposed to have the experience to make this easy. You expect a 18 to 21, 22-year-old to know everything about the world at that point when you're the one that's paid to make their job easier. It is literally your job to make their job easier. And right now, I feel like we're not getting enough out of this. I don't want to say the staff. I don't think we're getting a lot out of this offense when there's so much potential, man. And I've been beating on this drum time and time again, especially when it comes to UT this year. Started with the South Carolina. I was like, why are they holding back? What's to hold back for? And I can't understand it, because if you have a senior quarterback, he's supposed to be able to make those decisions. It's your job to be able to get him into those decisions. If it's you have two dynamic running backs, the way they have in Ty Chandler and Eric Gray right now, they should be more prominent on this offense. And the young receivers that they have are big play capable, and we're not seeing them being able to make those plays. We have a highly recruited tight end, still haven't seen much out of him too. It's like you're paying everybody else to build a cabinet in your house when you can really do it yourself. Like, hey, watch a couple YouTube videos. See what they're doing, okay? We always say what, J-Mar? It's a copycat league.
Mm-hmm.
You do stuff on air sometimes, you see, oh, somebody else is doing the same.
Pat McAfee. We'll get to it. We got Ian Eagle coming up at the top of the hour. We'll jump back into the Titans too. Still a lot more Vols to go as well. Plus, we'll get you updated on the polls, both of them now, over 1,000 votes, including that soda poll. Boy, that thing took off for sure. We'll be right back after the update on 104.5 The Zone.